You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, guys? I'm Tim Kelly. It is Monday, April 22nd, and this is Locked On Phillies. The Phillies started the decade 5-1 at Coors Field, but that feels like about a lifetime ago. Tom McCarthy referred to Coors Field as a house of horrors for the Phillies in recent years early in this series, and that trend continued this weekend as the Phillies dropped 3-4 in Denver, really couldn't get much going offensively yesterday. Charlie Blackmon had no problems getting things going offensively this week, with Nolan Arenado in a bit of a funk offensively, didn't play Saturday. Charlie Blackmon had 9 hits in the series. He had a walk-off home run Friday night and led off the game Saturday night with a leadoff home run off of Aaron Nola, who we're going to get to in a second. The Rockies are a team that started slow, but they've been in the playoffs 2 consecutive years, and they just have too much talent on that team to have continued losing. So I think the Phillies, in a lot of senses, caught them at a bad time, and a weekend filled with some extra injuries did not help it. But the Rockies entered this series having won 3 in a row, and then they took 3 out of 4 against the Phillies. So the Phillies did catch them at an inopportune time. And even in the game the Phillies won Saturday, Aaron Nola struggled again. He labored through 5 2/3 innings, scattering 9 hits, allowing 2 home runs and 3 earned runs total. He's 5 starts into 2019, and after 2018, which to me is one of the greatest years a Phillies pitcher has ever had, especially if you only talk about homegrown pitchers, I think it's better than any year Cole Hamels has ever had. He's followed that up with a 6.84 ERA, a 6.06 FIP, and a WAR that is negative right now. So Jason Ferry and myself were doing a deep dive for PhilliesNation.com later this week on what exactly has gone wrong with Nola, and beyond what's gone wrong with him, what are the potential fixes for Nola? But obviously the home runs are an issue, and 11 starts between September of 2018 and March/April of this year, Nola's given up 11 home runs. In his first 27 starts of 2019, he allowed 8 total home runs. So that is obviously an issue. But why is he having this issue? The long story short, poor location, too many hard hits / barreled balls, his sinker and his curve haven't been effective, and he was trying to put things together at Coors Field, which is not a place where pitches tend to have the same type of break that they do at a place like Citizens Bank Park or really anywhere else that isn't Mile High. So with Aaron Nola, I think there's cause for concern. The good news is there does not appear to be an injury, and who knows? David Robertson had the best appearance of his season and then was on the injured list a day later, so maybe we'll find out Aaron Nola has some injury. But that is something that the Phillies have been monitoring. Obviously, they're going to do that. They just made a giant investment in him prior to the regular season, $45 million. Even if that's a team-friendly extension, they made a big investment in Aaron Nola, and he's probably the best player on their team when things are going right. So they've monitored that, and on one hand, you're happy there's not an injury because he obviously had problems early in his career with injuries, and over the last 2 seasons, he's mostly been able to stay healthy. 2018, he was completely healthy. So you're happy to see that, but you know when there's an injury what the problem is and how to fix it. Right now, if there's not an injury, it's something mechanical, which it's a little more difficult to fix. I mean, this is someone that has won or has competed for a Cy Young Award in one of the most competitive National League Cy Young Award races in recent seasons, and the Phillies need to figure out what it is. I'm sure he's obviously frustrated as much as he tends to not really show much emotion at all. Coming into this season, the given was that Aaron Nola was going to be a legitimate number one Cy Young contender. He hasn't been that so far, and you know it's great. We're going to talk about Jake Arrieta after the break. He's been good. I thought, even minus some struggles in the 6th inning, Jared Eichhoff was largely pretty effective yesterday. Zach Eflin's had some nice starts. So the Phillies aren't in a horrible place with their starting pitching, and almost regardless of what happens, I expect them to make an upgrade at the July 31st trade deadline. But none of it matters if Aaron Nola isn't the pitcher that he was, at least in the second half of 2017. you hope he gets back to where he was in 2018, where he's one of the five best pitchers in the sport. But if you can at least get him back to where he was in 2017, where he was still a front line, really effective starter, they need to figure that out, because come postseason time, he's the guy you're going to be handing the ball to in game one of the postseason. And right now, he doesn't look like a guy that you'd want on the mound in the postseason. And again, there doesn't appear to be an injury, so it makes this difficult. If there was some obvious velocity drop, something of that nature, there isn't that. His sinker, in fact, he's throwing harder. He's also using it more, and it's getting hit more. So there isn't an easy answer on Aaron Nola, and that makes this a difficult discussion. Again, it's something Jason Ferry and I are going to take a deeper look at on PhilliesNation.com this week, so check that out. After the break here, I'm going to give you a preview of the Phillies and Mets series, specifically game one of the series, which will be played tonight. Guys, after you're done listening, sharing, and downloading Locked On Phillies, BlueChew.com is the perfect place to head if you are having any trouble in the bedroom. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Why pay more just for the name brand? Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants to add extra function and enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy line, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than going to a pharmacy. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Right now, we've got a special deal for my listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. That's promo code MLB. Again, that's BlueChew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. BlueChew is better, cheaper, and faster than the other choices. One of the few positives from a weekend that saw the Phillies lose 3-4 in Denver and saw them essentially dropping like flies when you consider Odubel Herrera was already on the injured list, and then you added Gene Segura, who at one point it seemed like was going to be back Sunday. He's on the injured list. Shouldn't be too long because it's retroactive. He was joined by Scott Kingery, who was in a tremendous stretch, and really the second Kingery went out, Cesar Hernandez, who had been 9-for-18, he really slumped the second half of this series. So that's something to watch. But the one positive from this weekend is that Friday's edition of the show focused on how Bryce Harper and Rhys Hoskins had both gone cold at the same time. And that was obviously a concerning trend for the Phillies. Hoskins is still struggling a little bit, but Harper put together the first five-hit game of his career Friday, which that really is amazing. All the really good years, and I get he's not someone that you traditionally think of as hitting five. You got to get five at-bats. You got to not get walked. A million things have to go your way. But he's a six-time All-Star. He put together one of the all-time great offensive seasons in 2015 when he won the MVP, hit 330. It's kind of wild to think he's never hit had five hits in a game, but he hit that. He had the five hits Friday, and then Saturday he hit a home run. Sunday it took till the eighth inning, but he walked, which allowed him to get on base for the 21st consecutive game as a Philly. He's doing exactly what they hope he would do. He has had some struggles in the field, and I think a lot of people downplayed that, and I think we're seeing it rear its ugly head again. He really isn't a great fielder. It is what it is. He has a strong arm. He runs to the ball hard, but he doesn't take great routes. He dropped a ball that he absolutely should have caught Friday night. So it's just kind of something you're going to have to live with. But from an offensive perspective, even when he's not going great, he's still getting on base. He's still making the pitcher throw a lot of pitches. And that was exactly what Gabe Kapler said he likes so much at the winter meetings about Harper. And that was months before the Phillies, of course, signed Bryce Harper. They hope Harper stays hot as they will head to Citi Field for the first time in 2019. Jimmy Rollins will be a part of the NBC Sports Philadelphia broadcast team Monday, which should be a fun little addition. I know a lot of former players become announcers and you think it's a great idea and they're not very good. Jimmy Rollins has done great work as a studio analyst, and I can tell you, being a studio analyst and being an announcer are two entirely different things. But I think he's going to be pretty good at this. He's fun. I believe John Kruk will be in there with him and Tom McCarthy as well. So it should be a nice little booth that they have there. It is cool to see J-Roll back involved with the Phillies. The Phillies will also miss out on Jacob deGrom in this series, which I suppose is lucky. He had an MRI, I believe, Saturday because his elbow was barking, according to manager Mickey Callaway. It may help the Phillies if he has some significant injury or even if he misses any time, which he is right now. I don't ever root for injuries to anyone, to the worst guy in the sport. I wouldn't root for an injury. Jacob deGrom is one of the great things about baseball right now. He had one of the greatest pitching seasons I've ever seen a year ago. It's no diss to Christian Yelich, but I thought Jacob deGrom was hands down the National League MVP last year, although Christian Yelich certainly seems to be putting himself right back in that discussion this year. But you hope for the best for Jacob deGrom. It's the same how the Mets probably feel about Aaron Nola and Max Scherzer and all these other pitchers where, yes, them pitching well hurts your playoff chances, but it's part of what makes the game so great. Jake Arrieta, who is the lone Philly that didn't pitch in the Rockies series, he will get the ball for the Phillies Monday. While you'd like to see him miss a few more bats, he has a 2.25 ERA after four starts, pitched into the ninth inning against the Mets last week. It's really hard to argue with the production that he's had so far, and it would have been welcome regardless, but when you consider the struggles that Nola's had and that Nick Pivetta, who was your number two starter to open the season, is now at AAA Lehigh Valley, it's an encouraging sign that Jake Arrieta has had a good start to the season, and hopefully for the Phillies that's something that will continue. Steven Matz, meanwhile, gave up 8 runs in the first inning last Tuesday at Citizens Bank Park, didn't make it out of the first inning. So that's seemingly, there's nowhere to go but up in one sense. If you're looking for a positive from a Mets side, from a Phillies side, they tattooed him last week, and it's something where they saw the ball very well, and potentially that's something they will do again this week. I've said this a few straight series, but with a division that's expected to be this close, it is crucial that you win these series. You don't lose 2 or 3. It's great if you're able to sweep them. And Gary Matthews, when he was an announcer for the Phillies, had a great line in August, I believe, of 2008, where he said, there comes a point in the season where it's not good enough just to win series. You need to start to sweep teams. The Phillies, obviously, on April 22nd, are not at that point in the season yet. It'd be great to sweep. You need to make sure you don't lose the series, and they did a good job of that against the Mets at Citizens Bank Park last week. They obviously did not do a good job over the weekend against the Rockies, a team that they could be competing for a wild card spot with, or they could be competing for a home field advantage in the wild card game. That series should come back to burn them. They don't want to have the same thing happen with the Mets here. So, again, it's a series where you need to get at least 2 wins out of, and I think they have a good chance to do that. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Kelly Sports, and you can check out my work on 94WIP.com and PhilliesNation.com. I'll catch you guys tomorrow.